Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 101 of the Rocket Punch cast. As always, I'm one of your hosts here, Cameron, alongside my cavalcade of crazy compatriots, Mr. Chris, Mr. Will. Gentlemen, what's going on this evening?
That was quite the alliteration.
Thank you.
Yeah, have you been practicing that all week?
No, that was off the cuff, actually. I know it's a little surprising. Sometimes I have these moments of grandeur. That was one of them. Believe me, it's going to go downhill from here. I guarantee it.
We got to pick up the slack.
No, how are you guys? What's going on today? On this rainy, stormy, thunderstormy day here in Huntsville?
I'm chilling.
Like Krillin, perhaps? Yeah. Go ahead, show the people on video.
You know, no one can
the
see
shirt.
That but us.
That is an awesome shirt. Where did you get that?
Funimation.com.
Go to Funimation.com. Support the Dragon Ball
hashtag not
agenda.
Get this shirt. We are not sponsored at all. But nah, I saw this. I'm like, I must own this.
You have.
I literally tried to buy this shirt. There's a whole story behind this.
Oh boy.
Oh geez.
Tell us the story. I want to hear it.
So I first saw the link tweeted out on the Funimation sales alert. I'm like, all right, cool. We'll go to add it. Oh, I can't buy it. What? So I get on my Mac. Can't buy it there either. Three different browsers, two computers, and a phone. Couldn't buy it. I had to submit a ticket to the Funimation store support to let them know, hey, there's no add to cart button on the page.
Wow. That's
so
crazy.
So anybody else wearing that shirt right now has this guy right here to thank.
Yeah. And legit, I was like, I'll check it back tomorrow. The day after that I initially tried to buy it, all right, cool. Maybe, you know, they're out. I went back the next day because I saw the ad again. I'm like, Funimation wouldn't keep pushing this ad if they still didn't have shirts. So I went in there. Not in stock. No, it says in stock. Okay. And that's, I'm just like, oh my God. Somebody literally forgot to put the button that says add to cart on the webpage for it.
Hashtag
fake. $8.99 though. $8.99.
Wow, that's a pretty
hashtag fired.
Yeah, right? That's a pretty fair price, though. Ain't less than $10.
That's pretty good.
I was like, $9? Yes, please.
Yeah,
I too can be chilling like Krillin for $9. Here's the problem. They messed up. It should have been $9.01.
Ooh, yeah, that's true. I would have liked that a lot.
Here's your chance.
I would have paid two extra pennies just to be able to say.
We're just laying them on the ground for you, Funimation. You got to pick it up.
Yeah, I am disappointed, yes.
Well, guys, let's go ahead and get this show started proper with the housekeeping. Of course, if you did not know, this is the Rocket Punch Cast, where groups of friends from all over come around this table, talk about video games into microphones. Guys, you can listen to this every Tuesday on your podcast service of choice. So if you like iTunes, you like Stitcher, Google Play, we're going to be on there. One day we'll be on Spotify. A lot of we'll just say logistics are preventing us from being there right now, but we're working on it. We've got top men. You can also watch us live as we record the show over at twitch.tv/rocketpunchlive. If you're watching us via video, then welcome. How you doing, guys? We record every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, so you know when to see us here. Our content, if you want to know more about Rocket Punch, the crew, us, all the stuff we do, our podcasts like Tank and Spank.
Yeah.
Our videos, some of the plans that we have in place, Chris. We'll talk about them here in a second here.
You guys, all I'm saying, he's hanging out with Pinky and the Brain.
That's right.
Yeah.
Take over the world. You can catch that over at rocketpunchgo.com, guys. That's your one-stop shop to kind of see all the content that we produce. If you want to help support the show, you like the content we're doing, always head over to patreon.com/rocketpunch for as little as a dollar a month. You too can help keep the lights on, keep the mics rolling here at Rocket Punch Studios. Since we're talking about Patreon, let's jump into some coverage there. If you are watching and you are a patron, giving you some updates here this week, expect a deluge. Using fancy words today for some reason. A deluge of content.
You need to get this man a monocle.
I believe the pronunciation is deluge.
Deluge, Brigitte, Brigitte. You know it doesn't matter.
Brigitte? Her name's not Spaghetti, bro.
Go watch Mooma in the video. He's like, Brigitte.
Brigitte.
We've got the Rocket Punch Cast bonus episode for May. The Tank Spank bonus episode for May. Our latest IRL episode. Free game giveaways. Everything's coming down this week since it is the last week of May here.
No promises on the IRL episode. I put that up for the first time. This is my first time doing the Patreon post.
You did pretty good.
The audio file is still in the Google Drive, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so worst case scenario, yes. We delete and repost.
Yeah. Delete. Yeah. I like how specifically it's delete and repost. That's important.
Well, I mean, we can't post the same thing with same name twice and have it look right.
That's true. You got a point there. But also, we want to definitely give out our weekly shout-outs as well to our good friend Chuck O.B. here, one of our local indie devs in Huntsville, Alabama. He's supporting us at that $10 or higher tier, so we give him plugs in every chance we get. So definitely follow Chuck. If you're a big fan of indie games, you like indie games, you love them, you want to know more about them, go follow him on Twitter at CEOSOL, C-E-O-S-O-L, am I spelling that?
Yeah,
I'm spelling
that right.
_ feedback, all one word. Over on Twitter, definitely follow him. You'll be able to get some cool, like a lot of indie games that we backed and followed were from him.
Yeah, it's because cool. I saw that pop up in the feed. Yep.
It's definitely.
Chuck OB is the fault. I blame him for my support of indie games as of late because half of the indie games I bought were his fault.
Curse you, Chuck!
My wallet is crying at you.
But guys, also as well, if you're watching via video on Twitch, if you are a Twitch Prime subscriber, we would love it very much if you threw your Twitch Prime sub our way. Thank you very much for that. Also, if you're listening via audio, again, we love it, love it, love it. And we always pay attention if you can rate and review us on your podcast service of choice. Definitely just go in there. It takes 5 minutes, but it does help our discoverability. So if you do that, we'll definitely appreciate it. And your name might actually get called out here on the Rocket Punch Cast. If you're looking for a place to kind of talk, have a lot of great conversations with other gamers and look for groups to kind of group up and play a lot of games, definitely check out our Discord chat channel. One of our guys here will post that in chat for you guys there.
Already done.
It's already done there. But we've had a lot. Chris, you started the topic of the days.
Yeah.
Which are really good. They sparked a lot of great conversations.
Trying to keep it going, keep everybody vested into the channel and everything, so... Mm. Topic of the day has been a fun way to do that, I think.
It has been fun.
Keeping a little spice in there and a lot of good off-the-wall stuff.
A lot of great conversations being had.
I think so.
And of course, guys, if you are watching us live, you can ask questions to us during the show. Just put hashtag AskRocketPunch in the Twitch chat there, and we'll scan that and look for those at the end of this recording. So, upcoming events, I put in here in the notes, new content, ?
Uh-oh.
Chris, we hinted at it a little bit, but you've got some grandiose plans for getting some more content for Rocket Punch up on YouTube?
That's the plan. We're going to try and bring the Rocket Punch cast back to YouTube, make it all clean, make it all YouTube friendly, put all them cards up at the front and the back and everything, make it look like a pro. Then on top of that, trying to get that RNG reviews off the ground.
Yeah,
trying to bring that to the people. So
if you don't know what that is, just wait.
Yes,
it's really cool.
It's coming.
It's really, really cool.
It is like the dragons, and we'll see what happens.
Like the dragons?
No. Not no.
Much sooner than the dragons.
Significantly.
But definitely, guys, be on the lookout there. Go ahead and if you want to go ahead and get the jump, go ahead and find us on youtube.com/rocketpunch. Live?
?
I don't even remember. It's been so long.
Rocket Punch Network, right?
No.
Well, it's not youtube.com/rocketpunch anything, right?
It's youtube.com/rocketpunch go.
Is it?
Oh, yes.
How'd you manage that?
We're cool like that.
I thought you had to have 100 subscribers in order to have a unique URL.
Nope. You're apparently lucky not. Kid. But you're lucky kid. youtube.com/rocketpunchgo. Go ahead and subscribe there. That way you'll know when some videos coming over there and kind of see our... kind of be ahead when we start rolling out our YouTube plans there. So just go ahead and get yourself ready to rock and roll there. We've also got some, we've talked about this before. I think we're going to end up following through with it, but IRL, you guys have heard us talk about it. I know our Patreons have, if you're listening, you're one of our patrons. We're actually thinking about going and rolling that into its own feed. Mm. It'll be its own podcast for everybody to access. But for patrons out there, like, no, what are you doing? This is great content. Why are you giving it to everybody else? Don't worry. You'll still get a bonus episode of IRL each and every month. So you're definitely not going to miss out anything there. But I think that'll be really cool. It's different content from what we do. And it talks about stuff other than gaming. And it gives us a chance to kind of stretch our legs a little bit.
A little bit.
We've had a lot of great conversations on there. we talked about cartoons, American cartoon and animation in 2018. Mm-hmm. We talked about comic books. We've talked about tech and AI, all sorts of crazy stuff on there. But so definitely be on the lookout for that. We've got a little bit of TLC to do to that, but don't worry. When we roll that out, you will know. And of course, Creator Spotlight is returning. We've nailed down a date. We've got our first person coming back. Float, one of our local artists here, really cool guy, Peter Lucker. He's going to be our next person on our Creator Spotlight. But that will be coming in soon. And if you're listening to this via audio on the Rocket Punchcast feed or watching us via Twitch here, definitely be on the lookout. There are going to be some tweaks and changes to how we approach Creator Spotlight. So we'll definitely keep you guys updated on that and let you know. But be on the lookout for that in the next few weeks, guys. We'll let you know when that gets rolling there. Stream schedule this week. If you're watching via Twitch or if you're listening, but remember, twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive. We do more than just talk shows on Twitch. We do play games as well. This week, our Top Shelf Tuesday pick, I think I'm going to jump into some State of Decay. I'm going to talk more about it in our table talk here, but I think it's going to be fun to jump into. I want to dive more into that.
Okay.
I've had surprisingly more fun than I expected with that game.
Mm.
So definitely, I think, especially after talking with Chris earlier there, I think State of Decay 2 is going to be the game for Top Shelf Tuesday this week. Wednesday, Indie Avenue. What do you got for us?
Bloodstained, Curse of the Moon.
That has been a popular one. That picked up a lot over the weekend.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. It's by Inti Creates. They've done some other crazy titles. I actually just finished up one of their titles recently. I finished Blaster Master Zero.
The game was pretty good.
It was fine. You know, it's a Metroidvania.
It didn't rock the world, but...
No, it didn't. But it was, for what it was and how much it cost, it was absolutely worth it. You know?
Yeah!
Pretty much. So I'm looking forward to this title. It'll suffice for a while, I think. For now. Again, I've got that here on my table talk, too. So
okay. We'll talk more about that here. Will, what you got for Tank and Spank Fridays, man?
Dude, it's been Overwatch for the last couple weeks. I don't think we need to go back to Hearthstone until they drop their update. So I'm going to give people a choice. A, we can level a character. Wow. Or B, and hear me out.
Here's the storm.
No. Not even close. I was going to say B, we can play StarCraft 2 story mode.
Ooh. Okay. So, viewers, listeners, flavor of the month, definitely tweet us at RocketPunchGo or at CT Gamer. Let us know what you guys want to see for Tank and Spank Fridays this week. If you don't say anything, then Will's just going to pick. And I mean,
and if you don't say anything, I may just play a new character in Destiny on PC. So
that's a Blizzard property now, right? Have they fully co-opted that game in yet?
No. If they did, it would be good.
Oh. Snap, shots fired. As with
hand.
Yeah, you gotta get the hand up. And you gotta put the glasses
let me
on.
Get that power ammo just right there.
When you do that, dude.
You don't have that $10 emote, then I take it.
Do I look like the kind of guy that's gonna pay money for emotes?
But guys, that's our streaming schedule as well. Remember, you guys can always look down under on twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive. Look at our information there. Find out when we're going live each and every week. Usually it's Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays there. But that's what you should be looking forward to this week as part of our stream. So definitely don't miss out. Click that little heart. Follow us so you know when we're going live with those games. But drum roll, messing up the mics. Let's jump into table talk for this week. Will, what have you been playing, sir?
Lots and lots of Overwatch.
Lots and lots, or just lots?
I mean, I'll let you decide. I was at like level 50 on PC. Now I'm at level 60, almost 61.
That's a good chunk over the last like couple of days. Yeah, that is a good bit.
So,
how have you been liking the anniversary event? I've been playing a little bit with you. So
the anniversary event's a lot of fun. I like how they're rotating it up, and just you get. They need to do this again next year, but they need to do it for, like, all of May. And just all the events. Rotate them every
day. It's going on for a while. It's
going until, like, June 11. but it started May 22nd.
Okay. Two and a half weeks. Yeah. Okay. I'd agree with you. Yeah.
Give me a whole month, man.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think probably the one thing I would like to see is more promotion on like what the new arcade event is, because you have to go look. And yeah, it's a few extra button presses, but I'd like to at least, I would have been fine with a banner like, Retribution.
You know why they won't? Because the Overwatch League is on the main banner when you open it up.
Okay. All right. Touche.
Touche.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, I'd rather see what game's coming up than, you know, we get this going on over here. This thing you played before, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, I will say I do like how Brigitte's shaping up. I can't wait to see what they do when they nerf her.
You've been like, if you guys haven't played with Will in Overwatch, dude, he can get rolling on Brigitte. I'm just gonna say Brigitte. I'm gonna put on my Muma hat and say Brigitte.
Look, I'm sorry. I'm trying to I'm trying to follow Papa Kaplan's pronunciations here. All right, but no, you know,
it is Brigitte.
But yeah, no, it's a. Let me go ahead and say I have had a couple of play of the games where it's just literally like, oh, okay, cool. You drop this, someone gravitoned, and I'm just over there. It's just like,
do that again.
Yeah,
it's, you looked like Bob Ross if he was just like really going at it like a pain.
He's like, a dream.
No, that's when he's cleaning the brush against the easel.
Yeah.
But now we need a Bob Ross skin for Brigitte.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
But no, man, it's a lot of fun. She is very easy to pick up. And for anyone that dies against me, feel bad because I play with controller on PC.
Ooh. Aim assist for the win. Oh, I don't know.
I mean, you can disable it.
Okay, I didn't.
I just roll around and you're like, I'm going to shoot over here now. Also, Junkrat got real good last night.
Oh, when they're grouped up. Nice little corner, you're just like...
Throw mine in there. It's great.
Just imagine the Patrick meme, but with Junkrat, and it says, like, when the enemy team is grouped up in a corner.
Yes.
What else, man?
I saw the Han Solo movie.
You did?
Opening night.
Okay.
A Thursday at 6.
We had a small conversation about this, but what did you think about the movie?
Of all the new Star Wars movies, it's my favorite. Mm. I would put it up there with Empire for me personally.
Whoa. Wow.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I didn't. Semi-spoilers? There's not a lot of Force users in this movie. It's the underworld. You're dealing with criminals and smugglers and Imperials. Are you dealing
with a wretched hive of scum and villainy? Somebody was going to say
yes.
It. Don't shake your head. Somebody was going to say it.
I will say I thoroughly enjoyed this for what it was. We get to see how Han and Lando meet. We get to see how Han and Chewie meet. And we get to see how Han and Chewie meet the Falcon.
Okay, okay.
And for me, those are big points that are just like, okay, yeah. Because Han is one of my favorite characters of all time, as far as Star Wars goes.
So you were really pumped up for this movie.
I went into it, I'm like, oh yeah, come on, young Han Solo. First off, I want to say his body language and mannerisms are almost perfect.
To Han?
Yeah, from back in the day.
That's good. I know a lot of people were concerned about that actor. And
no, like, I was gonna treat Han. You'll get past like the facial difference because they do have different faces. Look, they're different people. There's no way around that.
He's supposed to be a young Han. I mean,
right.
That suspension of disbelief, people. Come on.
Right. You know, you throw that out the door when you go in there. I thoroughly enjoyed this film, though. I'm trying to find time to when I go back and see it again, but working all of Memorial Day weekend kind of drains your soul on that.
Mm. Yeah. Like Moira and her little damage moves.
No, this is worse than that.
Oh, really? Ooh, man, I don't know what's worse than that.
Everyone, everywhere, all the time.
No, I have not seen the movie yet, so I'm definitely going to see it when I get a chance. We're going to have a long conversation off mic about this because Chris has boycotted the movie for various reasons.
Everyone around this table is aware that I boycotted this movie.
I wasn't aware until today.
I mean, let's be real. I think it's for a weird reason. I think if anything, I would boycott mainline Star Wars. I think this literally feels like old Star Wars to me. But this is also a Ron Howard direction and not Rian Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Howard made them like reshoot most of the film.
Yeah.
Conversation will be held off mic, or maybe a podcast episode where I just step away and you guys just have at it. And I'm like,
well, I don't think there's much disagreement going on. Like as far as that, like I don't think the new Star Wars movies are as good as they could be. So I don't think he and I are in a disagreement there. I think I enjoyed them more than he did.
Maybe I need to jump in the conversation too. anything else, Will?
I mean, unless you want to turn this into the Star Wars cast, I'm
good.
Can't
do that right now. We're already on a roll.
Chris, stay tuned for IRL episode 5.
No!
You mean episode 1?
Yeah, right? Reboot!
What, Chris, what about you?
Nice. Thank you. So I've been playing a lot of Kingdom Hearts.
You got hyped about KH3?
I like, did. Oh, yeah, for those of you who don't know, there was quite a lot of information that was thrown out there about KH3 within the last week or so. A lot of gameplay footage, some really cool stuff. I won't spoil it if you're trying to stay away from all those nuggets of information. But yeah, it got me real hyped for Kingdom Hearts. You know, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna get through this. You know, it's old. I would say
it's old.
It came out on the PS2, dude.
Yeah, I mean I'm enjoying it more. Than I guess maybe I should, or more than normally I would enjoy a game that's, you know, as old as that one is. Mm-hmm. But that being said, like, it shows its age in a lot of ways. You know, especially when it just comes from like I'm really looking forward to the seamless environment transfer in Kingdom Hearts 3, where, like, you could be in Andy's room, and then you jump on the windowsill, and then you jump outside, and it's just all one big seamless world. You just go, instead of, like, no the loading screen. Some of those chunks are small, man. Sometimes you'll go into one room, there won't even be any enemies that spawn, and that was a loading screen.
Well, you also remember that was...
Loading's fast, but oh my gosh.
That was probably technology of the time.
Oh, I'm like, sure.
Think about how many open world games we had back then as opposed to now.
Right, right. No, I'm sure that's what it is. It's a hindrance of the technology of the PlayStation 2.
What you got, Will?
I want to go ahead and say the game you're playing is currently 16 years old.
What, really?
Came out in 2002.
Oh, snap, I'm old.
Launched March 28, 2002 in Japan, September 17, 02 in US.
I remember getting that game, like, I got the first one. My brother got Kingdom Hearts 2 for the PlayStation 2. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, just to give you perspective, 16-year-old game.
Yeah.
Continue.
It definitely shows its age, even though obviously the graphics have been upped. I'm playing the PlayStation 4 version of the game, and the frame rate's absolutely phenomenal. It's locked at 60. It looks great for what it is, but
I'm almost
just the
disappointed.
Design of the game is strange. What's that?
I'm almost disappointed they're not trying to do 120.
Yeah, right?
It's such an old game.
My TV wouldn't be able to show that, though. my computer monitor is good, but the TV's
stuck at
60.
Why do you not have a 120 hertz panel?
Huh? On my TV upstairs?
Oh, you're playing on upstairs. I'm talking about your main TV.
Recording footage for Secrets.
excuse me.
We got a badass over here.
Yeah. Oh. So I'm not playing it down on my.
So what
my
you need
TV
to do
upstairs.
Is you need to take your nice TV and put it in your room and put
can
your old
you
TV.
Can you imagine a fight that would ensue with my wife if I tried to pull that one off?
No, she just needs to come home from the trip and it have been done.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah, and then magically, yeah. I'll have to put it back. Five solid days of enjoyment, and then go back down there. Outside of that, I also, going back to Bloodstained, which I had mentioned earlier or whatever, I have put a little bit of time into Bloodstained. Not a lot, probably less than a half hour. But all I can say is it's hard. It is like NES game style hard. It's really, really, ugh. It is very difficult. It's a tough game, and there's two different modes, I guess. There's a mode where you have a limited amount of lives, and then one with unlimited lives. I am on the limited lives. I will not be doing that on Wednesday. I will be out of lives by then, and we'll
We're
have to start
like
over.
Super Meat Boy, Celeste style.
I'm
difficulty.
Much better at Super Meat Boy than I am at this.
Really?
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is... The Super Meat Boy is a little bit different, though. You know
okay.
what I mean? Like, this is exactly what it's trying to be. It's Castlevania. So when's the last time you played Castlevania on the NES? That game was hard as heck, you know what I mean? They counted on the fact that you would put a bunch of money into a game and get a lot of time into the game because of how hard the game was.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's one of those old-style NES games where it was like they counted on that difficulty so you would get your money's worth, you know? So it's definitely tough. Okay. It is very, very tough. That being said, though, I've also lost my NES chops from 30 years ago. You know
what I mean?
It's
been a while. Like, you gotta stretch the muscles here a little bit.
This is like Dark Souls, 2D Dark Souls here, and I'm not prepared at all for this.
I think Dark Souls wishes it was this game.
Yeah, right?
Ooh, wow. That's pretty tough.
Actually, I would say I think Dark Souls wishes it was just Castlevania, but still.
That's true. Okay. But I'm excited. I totally forgot that I backed the Bloodstained Kickstarter. I didn't even realize I had this game for free. I didn't even know this game existed until people started talking about it last week. And hang on.
You didn't get it for free. You paid money to get this game.
I got it for
Cam
free.
Bought this Cam game.
Because when I paid for the digital version, I paid for the Bloodstained, like the 3D one, the coming out one. And yeah. I didn't even know this game was coming out. And then like, oh, this game, I'm like, Bloodstained, that sounds like the game I back. And
that's
like,
what I thought.
Guess
it
what?
Was.
You get this 2D retro one for free. I'm like, okay, cool. And so I have a code, so I'll definitely download it. But I'm curious to watch you play it.
Yeah.
Definitely want to see.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to putting some more time into it. I'm going to have to switch it over to easy mode or whatever, like
super
unlimited
easy
lives.
Baby mode.
I mean, I don't think that the difficulty changes. I think it's just the number of lives. But if I'm playing on 3 lives, like, it's going to be a short stream.
And we're done. All right, thanks, guys, for joining us. That's cool. Oh, I'll jump into some of my games here. They're pretty quick. I will definitely say that I remembered enjoying writing the God of War review, so definitely if you like some of our written stuff over at rocketmunchgo.com, expect more of that soon. I've been playing State of Decay 2. I kind of hinted at that earlier, but I'm having surprisingly more fun with that game than I thought I would. Now, I will say that I think I'm still in the early stages of it, so I can kind of see, like, I can see over the horizons, I can see some of the chinks and problems that I'm going to have with it, but so far it's pretty fun. Even just like switching between people, I spent one day in the world. I had to go out and it was nighttime to go find like supplies and rucksacks. I talked to you, Chris, about like the screamers that are in the building. That if you if they see you and they're like, and then like all these zombies come after you.
No.
That sounds like your favorite day, man.
No, I'm not playing this.
But it's not like I said, the zombies themselves aren't necessarily scary. They're just like ghoulish people with like red eyes, and that's what they look like.
Yeah, until they're like chasing you. You're right. It's like not scary at all until all of a sudden it's scary.
And then you just put rounds downrange and you fix the problem.
That's one of the big things about the game is that, at least for my early playthroughs right now, this is a management sim game. Like, you have your hideout, you have resources, so like you hit a button and you can see what resources you have available. You have to take care of stuff like your food supply is going low, so you have to go out and hunt for food. If somebody gets sick, you have to jump through and get like these plague samples so you can make a cure for them. Otherwise, they're going to die and you're going to have to put them down. Somebody could, and if, again, it has that permadeath system. So if one of your characters in your party dies, then they're dead for good. And like, I've already started building attachment on the two, because when you start the game, you have these duos that you pick, these two different people, and the one that I picked were the brother and sister combo.
Uh-oh.
From, like, their mom and stuff, and everybody's dead, and it's them on their own, and the sister is the overachiever, and the brother's the kind of lackadaisical one, and he's the one who gets bitten and starts getting sick, and so I'm helping him out, and I'm like, I'm starting to form an attachment to you guys. Crap. I can't let you guys go out anymore. I'm going to play somebody else. So it's really, really cool, but I can definitely see where it's going to get in that management-esque area, because like I was telling you, Chris, like when you're swinging your weapon, didn't realize that uses stamina too, so you can't like wildly swing your melee weapon the whole time. It's going to tell you, oh, you're running low on stamina. You got to be careful.
I'm not doing this.
And so it's a little tedious.
Why don't we just play some Left 4 Dead instead?
That is like the extent of the horror genre. I can't go any further than that. And
even
that's
not even horror. That's
sometimes it's too much for Chris.
Oh, man. Hey, Chris, I got a game for you called Outlast.
Why do you keep bringing this up?
Like, I'm can't like, wait to Halloween this year.
Why do you guys think cannot it's fun
wait.
To do that?
Oh, no, because it's the best day ever.
I don't think it is.
Definitely be on the lookout for a review for that game probably sometime this week. I want to play a little bit more of it before I start getting all my words down on paper, but I've got some of them down. The next game I've played a much less of it because I've been playing State of Decay 2, Detroit Become Human. Initial impressions of that game, presentation-wise, it looks wonderful. Very, very fun. A lot of the gameplay, I would definitely say if you were a fan of the Telltale games, is very similar as far as gameplay-wise to that.
Yeah, I've never sat down and played a Telltale game.
I haven't played a lot, but the big hits I've played. So I finally kind of forced myself to sit down and play The Walking Dead Season 1.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. Whew. You won't play it because it has zombies in it, you're missing out on
There's a Batman one I might pick up.
The Batman one was fun. Yeah. I played episode one. It's really, really fun. Tales from the Borderlands, if you want to laugh your ass off, play that one.
Yeah,
it's very, very, very good. Also, if we're going that route as well, you have to play Life is Strange. It's a life changer.
I have that now.
It is very, very good.
Okay.
Like, the first episode, I'm like, oh my god. And I haven't even had a chance to get back to it. I want to. And like, but episode one was just, oh, my heart just pulled it out and destroyed it. It's really, really great. But no, Detroit Become Human is really great. Presentation-wise, it's really great. And I'm really drawn to the premise. So it's got a lot of great stuff going to it. Definitely want to dive in more about that. But you'll be getting a review for that game as well. That's probably going to be sometime next week because I've still got to spend a little bit more time with that before I can make final impressions on that. So... two good games. Got a little taste for them. Flavor for them.
Hmm?
I'm really excited to kind of play those games and talk more about it to everybody here.
Hmm.
The other game that I played is freaking awesome. You're sleeping on this. Zone of the Enders 2.
Yeah.
The second runner.
Mm-hmm.
Free demos available on PlayStation.
When does it come out again?
September. $29.99. 4K. VR, but who cares?
4K.
Look, the ads say 4K. Sure, we'll roll with it. Believe me, I don't even know how old of a game. That's a PS2 game, too.
It is.
The 4K is very superficial here. You're not going to be sitting there staring at Horizon Zero Dawn levels of graphical fidelity.
No.
But it looks nice. It looks a whole lot nice. The demo is really cool. It reminds me why I love that game. That's probably one of my favorite games that you've never heard of or nobody really gave a chance to. I love Zone of the Enders.
I never played it. I played the first one. I beat the crap out of the first one on a rental from Blockbuster.
Did you like the first one?
Loved it.
But the second one is exponentially better.
That's what I heard. But
than the first one.
For whatever reason, I think the second one came out after my PS2 broke or something. Okay. There was some reason I couldn't play it. And I was like, well, I got an Xbox now. I would tell
people if you had to choose, I would play the second one and wouldn't even worry about the first one.
I loved the first one.
The first one was cool, too.
I'm just the guy over here with both of them on the PS3.
You got them on the PS3, though.
I still have a working PS3, is what I'm saying, if you want to play it.
I have it on PS2. It's right here. Hold on. I'm going to get it.
You can't play it, though, right?
I know, but you can stare at it. It's in the old... You guys remember the old GameStop EB Games boxes?
Cool. Here you go.
Yeah, look. Coolsies. Yay. Oh, I'm a fan.
That's the first one or second one?
Second one. But no.
That's a Kojima game, right?
It is a Konami game. Yeah.
No, Kojima. Kojima. It's a Kojima. Kojima?
I think it is.
Yes?
I think it is.
Don't know. Regardless, it is a very awesome game. Try the demo out. The demo itself is a very, very, very small tease. But it is kind of gets you a taste of how the combat and stuff works. But the game is great. Like I especially love some of the. No. Will, you've played the game, so some of my favorite boss battles, Sagat, mm-hmm. And when you're in the sky, and then the final battle with Anubis is just.
Kojima is one of the producers on it.
It's great. Okay, I knew we had.
Don't sleep on the game Zone of the Enders 2, the second runner.
It's
demo.
$30. Just
it's
buy the
free
damn game.
On PSN. Game is $30. Make me stop pointing at you like this. Go get the game now.
Hang on.
Is it coming to PC?
No.
No.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I'm actually surprised. Yeah. Okay.
There's a lot of people who are upset about it because they want to play it on VR. They're like, I'm not getting a PlayStation VR. I already have a VR headset.
Well, you know, I wouldn't buy a PSVR either. I had one, and, well.
That's a story for another time.
Yep.
Guys, that's it for our table talk here. Let's jump into our topics of the show. somewhat. The second one's kind of fun, so I'm glad we're leaving that last. This one can be kind of heavy. We might end up on this conversation piece for a while. They're looking over at the topic while I'm setting them up here. But what we're going to talk about for topic number one is the changing landscape of gaming lately, the last couple of years. I've been thinking about this for a week or two anyway, with some of the reveals, and we're going to set them up here. But the big one I talked about as well is, for some reason, I don't know why we have to continue to have this conversation in 2018, but for some reason we do. For people who don't know, if you've been living under a rock, Battlefield 5 was recently announced.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, next tentpole franchise in the Battlefield universe there. And for some reason, don't know why, there was a huge controversy and backlash about the fact that there are now women in the game. And apparently that is historically inaccurate for World War II, that women were on the front lines. Which, it's so funny because it...
Actually, it's not.
Exactly. There are a lot of people that came out and they're like, my grandmother fought in World War II. There are historical representations of women that fought in World War II.
Well, not only that, the Russian people were getting pushed back so bad that they were throwing guns into women's hands just to keep them to defend themselves.
And it... There was... Yeah, like, I think the big one was just because of, like, the box art, which, you know, tongue-in-cheek, that's why I picked it for this thumbnail for this episode, to deal with it. But there was huge kind of issues and controversy over that, and I just feel like, man, it's 2018. Haven't we gotten past this stuff already?
I don't even care. Thank you! Like, not only was the women thing a big one, but also the attire... They've been making a big deal out of the fact that the clothes that the people are wearing in the trailer and stuff are not historically accurate to the time period. And they've got, like, black and white photos of, like, you know, battalions in their, you know, standard military garb and then what they've got for this. And I'm just like, dude, if you're going to Battlefield 5 to get your history straight, like, rather than, like, read a book, you're going, nope, I'm just going to play the game and I'll know everything
you want to know. I don't go to history class. Like, I play Battlefield.
If that was your backup plan to be able to pass your history test, was to play Battlefield 5 all weekend pre-gaming it, I'm sorry.
You're already in trouble. Already in trouble.
Totally, you are so... You know, who cares?
I had a lot of problems with people calling out the fact that Kratos was in here in the game, and it really just hurt. Like, Kratos could have been there. He could have been in World War II.
You never know.
I'm sorry. Isn't he the god of war?
Yeah. So they had him in there as a dude who's bald, has a beard. He has the blue stripe on his left eye, and he has carrying a gun, and everybody's like, Kratos, what are you doing?
I think they're just tongue-in-cheek, you know, giving a nod to God of War, and that's it.
There's a great picture of that dude from the Battlefield 5 reveal, and it just is a title. It says God of World War II.
Yes.
It's really great.
My other favorite thing is I've seen now a Kratos, like, superimposed on that with a golden beard. He's like, yelling like he's going Super Saiyan. So, yes.
But... Okay, we got some of the nastiness out of our mouth here for this topic here, but
And I want to add some on this. I'm just gonna go ahead and throw this out there. I do not give a shit what you care about games. Anybody can play whatever they want. Asian person, American, black person, it does not matter where you're from. You should be able to choose something that represents you in the game you're playing.
That's what you want to do.
Yeah. That's cool stuff. You know what? If you want to, because let's be real, a lot of games is all about self-insertion fantasies. Like, I am here. I am doing this in this game.
That's true.
So at that point, everyone needs to be able to represent themselves.
I'm not going to Battlefield 5 for historical accuracy.
I'm not either. What I'm saying is, like, hey, you know what? If you're a chick, you got your head shaved on this side, you got spikes up, and you're doing the whole dubstep thing, I don't care. You should be able to have that in Battlefield
and
go.
If we're playing video games for historical accuracy, then go ahead and dump like 85 to 90% of them.
I would say
a lot more than that.
I would
that.
Say all but maybe three.
Yeah.
Civ 6. We can keep Civ 6.
Civ 6 is not accurate. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yeah.
No. I was going to say, because isn't one of the Civs like Hitler is a pacifist?
Yeah.
So
we're stuck with and Gandhi football management sim.
Yeah, 2018. Yeah, there you go.
I mean, you know, you'll know how to manage a team at least.
Yeah. But some of the lighter, I think, kind of positive notes as far as the landscapes lately. We never got to touch on it a few weeks ago because of episode 100. But the Xbox Adaptive Controller got announced by Microsoft.
Yeah, that's actually really cool.
Yeah, if you haven't had a chance to look for it, it's a new type of controller for people with disabilities. Very customizable. They have all these ports on the back. You can literally plug whatever you want to like basically macro to certain buttons on an Xbox controller work it that way. Really, really cool. The first of its kind. Was really happy to see that. And then as well, you know, talking more about reveals, we got the Call of Duty Black Ops 4 reveal. And specifically on that reveal, one of the big things that everybody knew was coming was the PUBG Battle Royale game.
Right.
Blackout is the mode in Call of Duty. It's finally, we've reached peak Battle Royale when Call of Duty co-ops it into their games. I think. That's what I think.
Hey, Cam.
I think you need to pick up.
What? Why?
He's giving you a call. You should probably pick up the phone. Ring, ring, hello.
Oh, hey, it's coming to the BattleNet Launcher. We called that in episode 50-something. I'm taking it right.
We haven't called it. But no, like, looking at some of these trends and kind of, since we had the Battlefield 5 one, to kind of throw that in there as well, I wanted to talk about the changing landscapes of gaming and more or less, what are some of the new or latest trends, not necessarily in 2018, but in the last couple of years, that we're seeing in gaming that is helping the industry, or maybe we think is hurting the industry, as opposed to when we were kids and when we were growing up. I mean, it's kind of funny because we talk about some games, Zone of the Enders 2 and Kingdom Hearts 2, when we were playing those back in the early 2000s, and now we're older, and now it was just really weird. Maybe it's just me being an old curmudgeon now, but kind of looking in and like, man, games look so different than when we played them back in the day. You know, I remember you had to walk 15 miles to your EB Games both ways in the snow.
Pepper's Farm remembers.
But, yeah, what are some of these latest trends that we think are helping and hurting the industry? And what, maybe a more profound question than we have time to tonight, but what power do we as gamers have, do we feel we have over those changes? Like, how do you guys feel, how do we feel about the power that we as gamers have over influencing what those trends are in certain aspects there? But the first question, they were like, what are some trends you guys think are kind of helping the industry or hurting the industry?
I think the accessibility push is going to help the industry.
The adaptive controller was a huge, huge, huge thing.
Well, not only that, for a long time, Microsoft's had accessibility options in their software that is, I kind of wish were on the other consoles as well, just for the sake that if someone wants to play a game, they should be able to figure a way out that works for them.
Does anybody know if the adaptive controller is like universal? Could it? I'm sure it could work on PC.
Yeah.
But could it work on
PlayStation? I have no idea.
PlayStation is not.
Probably not, because Sony's kind of particular. It's got to meet certain standards.
That's right. It's true.
Right.
I mean, but just like Nintendo is too.
The fact that it works on PC games, that already is like a open door.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So many games that a lot of disabled gamers play.
Because it supports the same APIs as the Xbox One S controller, which is natively supported in Windows 10 now.
Right.
And you sound like a Microsoft PR person.
Look, I'm sorry that I work in a technology company.
No,
and I happen to realize that,
don't apologize for that. It's freaking awesome. But it's just, I appreciated that. I don't think, being honest, everyone listening, viewing, I don't think I could appreciate that adaptive controller and what Xbox did nowhere near as much as other gamers out there, especially disabled people.
Yep.
And like, it wasn't great to see, like, yes, that was a feel-good moment for me. Like, yes, like, that's what we need in the industry. But like, I'm not going to joke around and said like, oh my God, I was just so hyped and so excited about it because it sucks. It doesn't affect me as well as it may be somebody with cerebral palsy or MS or something like that.
No, but this does give a lot of folks that are stuck in a hospital bed recovering, it gives them some capability to still get away from the issue they're having to deal with.
Yes.
Why I'm stoked about it. Like, it gives people the ability to escape just like we can.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys watched the video that introed to this?
Some of it, yeah.
Very, very good. They had, I know, one that kind of reached out to me was the brother combo. Like, his brother, one brother was disabled and the other brother got into an accident and they never got to really play games. And so now they're able to with his controller.
Mm.
Steve Spone from Able Gamers, he helped Like, he'd been working with Microsoft for the last, like, 3 years on making this controller.
Mm. Oh, cool, man.
Which is really, really cool. I remember when he kind of came out about that. But that's me, like, on that on the Adaptive controller. Like, it... I appreciate it very, very much, and I'm glad that it has a place. Like, there's a purpose for it, and it exists, and somebody finally thought about making... intelligently thought about making something to reach all more gamers, more have people enjoy it more. It just... it. Not that it loses its impact, but it does not have as much of an impact on me. But it's like one of those, like, this is awesome. This isn't for me. I don't need to be in the limelight for this. This is for these disabled gamers and these people that haven't been able to play games before, and now they can.
Right.
They have the ability to do that.
No, I'm just happy that some people in the industry are actually thinking about it. That's what I'm happy about it for. Mm.
It, is that Phelan Faster in Twitch chat brings up a comment as well. To me, gaming in general feels more like competition-based than individual experience-based these days. That is a trend to talk about, because we pull out our canes and stuff. We talk about when we were playing Kingdom Hearts and Zone of the Enders, and we name those games, and those are primarily single-player-focused games. And with the... Even in the early 2000s, that's right when the Xbox came out. That's right when we started seeing Xbox Live, which was a real big push for multiplayer play, like across an industry standard. I know you PC gamers, we've had it for years. Ooh, oops-a-do. But now it definitely feels like, to me, in 2018, like multiplayer is the norm. And then there have been talks about that as well. Everybody, every time a game like God of War or Detroit Become Human or Horizon Zero Dawn comes out, it's like, or single player games dead. Oh no! Especially,
well, I think God of War proved that is not in fact the case.
Well, I think Horizon before that proved that. I think any Nintendo game lately coming out is proving that.
Yeah, I absolutely think that companies like EA are out of their freaking minds. But I think that.
Kind of piggybacking off Phelan Faster's point here in Twitch chat, with that competition based, I think those multiplayer games are really driving that competitive push. Call of Duty, Battlefield 5, we talked about Overwatch League. We're in this time where the advent of esports is becoming a thing, and just a lot, like almost every game that comes out, either they feel they need to or is built solely on multiplayer. Like, Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is the first Call of Duty game that I can think of that has multiplayer only. No single player.
Right. But the question, though, is it built around multiplayer or is it built around loot boxes?
That's another trend.
That has everything to do with it, right? Because, like, a game like God of War, loot boxes aren't going to make any sense for. You know, a game like Horizon Zero Dawn, loot boxes aren't going to make any sense. Money is clearly in loot boxes right now. You know what I mean? They're making billions of dollars off of the amount of loot boxes they're selling in games like Overwatch.
God of War, loot boxes don't make it much sense because they don't use boxes, they use chests. So I'd probably put loot chests in there. I love you guys so much.
Why do I listen? Like, where's he going with this? Like an idiot every time. And then I'm like, God, I did it again, man. Every freaking time.
No. I at this point, I'm just like, I'm waiting. There it is.
Thanks for watching. In all seriousness, going back, like, that can... loot boxes is a trend as well. Even piggybacking off the competitive point that Phelan Faster made and going with the multiplayer games, that's a trend. I could put those in multiplayer games together and the competitive nature of games. Like, from a... kind of finishing Phelan Faster's point here, he says in chat as well, there's absolutely nothing wrong with competition and it is a great thing, but I've always got the most out of games that are single player focused based on exploring situations and worlds.
Same.
Phelan Faster, I'm exactly the same way. I'm very single player focused. I will play multiplayer games if I have a group of friends. If you want to play, let me know. At C Kearns on Twitter. But I like my single. There are times where I like sitting down and I can talk to him. Just playing this game, I'm going through here, and I'm playing my God of War, my Horizon. And I think it's right. There's nothing wrong with competition. Overwatch League is a perfect example of that. That's like one of, and not even just Overwatch League, esports in general is a big, I think, positive on that in kind of how esports has developed from those multiplayer games and that competitive nature. I think unfortunately, the flip side of the coin is when you start lifting up the rug on some of those, some, not all of them, but some of those esports kind of communities like League of Legends and Dota 2, and it gets kind of nasty in there. And like, is it, that's a trend I don't want, I want gone, is the fact that I won't even touch League of Legends because of just of the worst, what I've heard of how toxic that community is.
It can be excessively toxic. Yeah, being told that you should kill yourself because you're bad at playing this one character.
It's horrible.
Plus,
it's
awful. Like, I have a job, man. Like, I would love to be really good at this game, but, like, I have a job, so. perhaps you people with no jobs have all the time in the world to get really good at these characters. There's, like, 110 in League of Legends. Like, afraid there's a few that I'm not going to be any good at.
But even, like, we kind of looking on the brighter side again, with you look at Overwatch League, look how positive that esports community has grown. Like, when I sit there and I watch the games, and they're like little kids and children and stuff in there, and they're having a great time, and like, woo! Well, now, yes, is there a section in that Overwatch competitive play that is just toxic as hell? Yeah, there's a couple people in there.
But that one, like, dark alley you don't need to go into.
Everything the light touches is yours, but don't go over there. But it's nice that when you're watching Overwatch League, Overwatch League is something I feel like I could show somebody that may not know esports and watch it. They may not understand anything in there, but at least the mood of the competition and whatnot, they can see, okay, very positive environment as opposed to the Dota 2 Invitational. Somebody's raising these crazy Pepe the Frog signs. And like, cut the camera away. But let's talk. I'm going to read Phelan Faster's last comment here on Twitch chat here. You have to wonder if in another generation single-player games will be even less important as they once were. It could be an age thing as well. Gamers are getting older, and older gamers prefer those single-player experiences or seem to. That could be the case. That's probably just because that's all we had. There wasn't an internet where you could connect consoles and games together.
No, back then, if you wanted to play with your buddies, you had to be in the same room.
I mean, kids won't remember this, but I remember when you had to, you know, log into AOL and you got the little and you hook up on your phone line, and then if your sister answers the phone while you're online, it disconnects you from the internet. But I'm not salty about it at all. I'm not. Let's talk about...
You are the one here that has a twin sister, so.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. That's a trend. Chris, loot boxes. DLC. Yeah. Post-launch content.
Well, and so there's a difference between good DLC and expansion content and trash.
But Will, I'm gonna piggyback off a point you made. You made a comment earlier before we went on the air that you remember when you got games and it was the full game. You didn't have to worry about additional content. When you got Kingdom Hearts, you got Kingdom Hearts.
That's never happened.
So there's one game I will exclude from any kind of hatred on this, and it's a game that I've been playing since vanilla. To be fair, though, they do a full-on game style launch every time they expand.
I don't think stuff like World of Warcraft falls in this category. We know what, Chris, you're talking about. You're talking about Star Wars Battlefront 2. You're talking about Need for Speed, whatever. You're talking about Horse Armor. You're talking about Shadow of Mordor. What do you guys think about loot boxes? Chris is going to save his passion.
I'm okay with loot boxes if you do it the way that they've done it in Overwatch, where it's purely cosmetic, cannot impact the game at all.
Okay.
And it just affects the way your character looks. That I'm okay with. I'm not okay with locking all of the good gear and characters in your game for you to progress behind loot boxes, a la Battlefront 2. That's all I have to say. Don't make it pay to win if I'm already giving you anywhere from $60 to $120 for your game. you do that, and I will never buy your products again. EA, you're dead to me.
Wow. Womp womp.
Yeah. Sorry, BioWare, you're dead to me, too.
Ooh, man. Sabrina's coming. All... The ghost of Sabrina's coming for you.
She's not dead.
I mean,
like... She can throttle my neck. You know, she's like...
She's going to hear this she like, well!
She's a massive BioWare fan, if you guys couldn't tell. They're owned by EA, so I'm dead. They're dead to me. I'm over the constant loot box push. I'm not going to be buying the next Destiny whenever that comes out. I am also not going to be buying Black Ops 4 unless there is the same kind of loot box system as Overwatch. Because you know they're shoving loot boxes in it. It's Activision.
One of those games, either Call of Duty or Battlefield, the CEO said that there were no loot boxes. I can't remember which one, though. Battlefield?
Yep.
Yeah. I wonder why.
But, okay. We'll save you for last, Chris. Don't worry. We'll get to you.
He's got the biggest soapbox of all.
We're going to get his...
You guys are going to be surprised.
I don't... My problem with loot boxes, as far as like the trend right now, is that people haven't... I don't think a large majority of the industry has figured out how to leverage them properly without making fans feel like they're being nickel and dimed. There have been great examples of people that have used post-launch content and loot boxes and paid DLC to its benefit. A la one that comes up to mind for me, CD Projekt Red and The Witcher 3. Like, they told everybody up front, we're going to have these small little bits of content that's free. We're going to have these two expansive add-on content pieces that you can purchase with a season pass, or they're $20 each. They're totally yours. They don't impact the main story. They're not pieces that we've pulled out that we're going to sell later. You can purchase them if you want. You can purchase them if you don't want. And these were content that they don't necessarily have to be this large, but they were DLC that was like... The DLC was bigger than most games, like 20 hours of additional content, 30 hours of additional content. And then... And so that's an example, I think, of some people that are doing well, as opposed to, I remember the Batman Arkham Knight fiasco when it was getting ready to launch and they announced it. And there were a lot of things wrong with that announcement. I don't know if you guys remember... But
I remember is hearing about PCs blue screening with this game.
No. When they announced it, it was just hilarious. When they announced the E3, it's coming out at the end of this year. I laughed on the screen when they said that. I'm like, no, it's not. It'll be next 2016. Will be next year. And guess what? It got delayed. But I remember one of the big things a lot of people were upset about. They announced their season pass. Told you literally nothing. I was going in the season pass, but they wanted that. $50 for the season pass.
I do remember that.
Yep. Oh, on top of the $60 you want to pay for the game.
Yep.
But they didn't want to tell anybody what was in it.
Nope.
And people were like, what are you smoking? Like, I'm not. Now, granted, there were some people like, sure. But like a lot of people were like, no, we're not going to do that. And that's not how you get people to jump on the bandwagon with paid post-launch content. Like, why am I going to pay as much as a full game in consumers' eyes for content that I don't even know if I'm getting? You could have paid $50 for that, and they could have given you like the 1990s Batmobile.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
And you're just shallow. Sorry. Call it like it is. And, but I think that's for me. I think that they're, especially the loot box and the DLC stuff has been ramping up, especially with Battlefield 2 and basically almost anything that happened in the latter part of last year with Shadow of Mordor and their whole debacle with the guy that was the developer that passed away and they were making DLC, but then they wouldn't tell you where
the... They did the same thing with the DLC that we weren't going to actually tell you what was coming in the DLC. Yeah. They did the same thing.
And that Battlefield 2, a lot of other, like, almost
they're everything. Both Warner Brothers properties, too, aren't they?
I was going to say, aren't they the owned by the same people?
Shadow of Mordor is Warner Brothers. Yeah. Is
Battlefront? Batman is.
Batman was. So I understand people's... when you're upset about, like, you hear this, like, people are like, oh my god, loot boxes, and you get upset because we've had so many bad experiences lately. But I think there is a proper way to utilize them. Will, your example of like using Overwatch, like where it's purely cosmetic, works as well. The Witcher 3, I think, is another great example for me. There are good ways of doing that, but people just don't know what to do, aren't listening, or they're just so, I think some companies are so fueled by greed that they just throw it on the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, so what I wanted to say is basically along the lines of what Phelan Faster says here. For me, it's so simple. Don't buy the games with loot boxes if you don't agree with loot boxes. And that's kind of the issue with the whole thing, right? Like, me personally, I don't agree with loot boxes. I think that's stupid. I think it's terrible. Nonsense content. I think it's like a easy way to cash in on the vulnerable, especially when it comes to the fact that most in loot box situation, it's a very gambling mechanic where you don't even know what you're going to get ahead of time. So unlike a microtransaction where, you know, if you want that stupid horse armor from the Ubisoft game or whatever, you can go and you can buy the horse armor and get the horse armor. Whereas with a loot box, you're just randomly throwing money at the screen in the hopes that you get the thing that you want. You know, I don't agree with loot boxes. I'm not one to defend loot boxes. But that being said, I would also be very wrong, right? Like, it doesn't matter whether or not I like loot boxes, whether or not I think they're fair or anything. The fact of the matter is, in 90% of the cases, unless you're like Battlefront, where you're actually charging for content that alters the game in some way, if you're not doing that, consumers seem to be okay with it. In fact, a lot of people are throwing all those monies, all the dollars they can at these games to try and pick up the various...
It's so funny when people are like, I'm never going to support loot boxes, but when it's a game that you care about, that you love, Witcher, Final Fantasy, Overwatch, Sonic the Hedgehog, you know, if for some reason there's a game that you're excited about and they're like, here's some DLC, if... Our first instinct is like, I'm going to get this game. I love it anyway.
DLC, but then, I love. I'm not going to argue with DLC as long as it's got the care put behind it. You know what I mean?
That's the key.
You put the time and effort into it to make it worthwhile, I am 100% pro DLC. I'm interested to see what this live services thing from Ubisoft is going to be all about. Yep. You know, they did a pretty decent job with Division, in my opinion. You know, they kept that going for a long time. They kept giving out more content.
What you got, Will?
So, you want to know another example of DLC that was done right? You remember, the name, tip of the tongue, lost it. Infamous, sorry. It took me a minute.
The first one or second one?
Mm-hmm. It wasn't that. It was their Halloween DLC. It was all, like, the vampire one and all that. That, they released it as DLC, but it was also in its own individually playable wrapper, so you didn't have to have the game to get this part of the game.
And Infamous has been good with that, with the Infamous Second Son. Yeah. They had the First Light DLC, which you could get, and you didn't have to have the full game for that. Exactly. Those are good ideas. Those are definitely good ideas.
So where it's like, hey, this is additional content, the game's already been out for a hot minute, here's an extra story, it's in this engine, it's in all this, it uses all these assets, but you can play it on its own. You don't necessarily have to own the whole game. I do really like that.
Ooh, it's almost kind of DLC thing because I don't want to spend too much time on the DLC box, but Brian67 in our Twitch chat has a great trend that I think has been new, and I think that's kind of become since the advent of online connectivity, is online subscriptions. His comment is, like, when you need to be online to play a game but you need a subscription for it, that's another DLC kind of thing I see.
Mm-hmm.
What? We haven't talked about online subscriptions. How do we feel? What do you guys think about that trend of online subs like PS Plus or Xbox Live or Xbox Games with Gold?
I hate it. You guys know that. That's why I stuck on PC for the longest time. The only reason I picked up PS Plus was because we run a YouTube channel and we're trying to expand to new people and they don't always have PC. So I went ahead and finally did it because I feel like as a member of the industry, I felt like I had to do it. But beyond that, if it wasn't for that, I would not have PS Plus anymore. I don't like the random games they throw at you, you know, that you never know what you're going to get. I would rather... I mean, the one exception was Rocket League. I actually got use out of that one, but everything else I've never really gotten any use out of.
Full disclosure, I got Rocket League, just downloaded it because it was the free game. Took me years before I actually played it. I was with them, and they're like, have you played Rocket League? I'm like, I have it on PS Plus, I just never played it. And he's like, what? What are you saying with your life? No, I think there's a purpose for it, because I understand it's like online connectivity, and I think even more so on the Xbox Live front because of their infrastructure. and a lot of the effort they put when they talk about dedicated servers and you have this pure online experience, it goes down like literally 80% less than the PlayStation Network does, which is a good bonus there. There's a part of me that doesn't like what they've become, where gamers are so, like, the thing that matters about those are the games. Like, when you're getting, you get the random roll of games each month, and then it's not the games that you like, or it's the games you already purchased, and gamers like, oh, this service is stupid, I'm gonna leave, this is horrible, when those games really are just like, that's just icing on the cake. They're just giving you added value. I think this is that the big reason for paying that subscription fee is to keep those servers up and running.
Yeah.
Because it costs money to do them. And I'm okay with that. Could they be cheaper? Yeah.
I mean, I think look at Nintendo.
$20? I was just going to say, give me the chance to throw $20 at you, Nintendo. You can have it. You can have it. I don't care with little piddly thing you're putting out there with your weird like NES games that you're going to be able to. I don't care. $20 is a fair price. I would have all three. $60. I would have all three and I don't even play my Xbox, and I would have all three if they were $20 a piece. $60 for a thing that I may or may not even use because I play so much stuff on PC. It just seems like another way to get another few bucks out of you. Now, that being said, I'm not against subscription services because the Xbox thing, the Game Pass, that thing's amazing. And I would even be okay if you said the first 90 days that a brand new title comes out, it's not available, and then it goes live on this service. I think that would be more than fair. They come out and they go, you don't even have to buy a stupid new game. Just $10 a month.
That's how I'm playing State of Decay 2.
It right doesn't now, even make sense financially. I don't know how they're making money off of it, but I am down with the idea.
That's a trend that other companies could pick up more on, I think, the Game Pass.
Oh, EA has something like that, right? With Access? I've never tried it. I can't say one way or another.
You get a small portion of the game, and it's only for a set amount of days. Will, what do you got?
I'm going to have to be honest here, man. I'm okay if it's like a Netflix for game style subscription service like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about ready to sell my Xbox. If they announce Master Chief Collection on PC, I'm literally listing my 1S. That's it. Done.
But what about Crackdown?
Oh, that's cute. It'll be on PC.
Don't worry. We're going to get to Xbox in a second, folks. Don't. Yeah. Xbox fans, hang tight. We'll be with them.
You're on notice.
Well, no. It's... So, I'm one of the lucky ones that like you have a 1080. I just got a 1080 Ti.
Whoop.
And I didn't pay $2,000 for it.
Whoop.
So, I'm happy about that. But whoop. At the same time... You know,
keep doing that.
Whoop.
Was it the sound of the police or something?
I don't know what it was.
Good.
No, but I'm going to be honest, man. It's one of those, I'm lucky enough to where I have a computer that's powerful enough to play anything on the market. So at this point, if they're releasing all their games on PC, then why do I need the Xbox? I have my PS4 because there's only games that will ever come to the Sony platform. I have my Nintendo because there are only games that will ever come to the Nintendo platform. But Microsoft has literally taken away my reason for having to have an Xbox. Now, I still had to pay for Windows.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm still on their platform. But if I get it through Xbox Game Pass and I'm playing on the PC, I don't have to pay for Xbox Live.
That's true. Shout out to Stig in Twitch chat. Sunset Overdrive is an awesome game if you have an Xbox and have not played that. You should go play Sunset Overdrive and then get hyped for Spider-Man for PS4.
Which is coming in September.
Because that's from the same group, from Insomniac, so... Get hype.
Same people, more money.
One more trend because we're. I figured this was going to be the big topic. I want to talk about, and it's escaped me for a second here. Let me get it back. I got to think about it.
Gone.
Yeah,
it's gone. You're getting demoted.
I'm going to be real here. It's kind of hard to demote him if there's three of us and we're all on equal playing.
Yeah. I feel bad that I bought my 1S now if you're going to be selling your 1S.
Oh, I would have sold it to you for a fair price.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't use it to game. You guys know this. You know what I mean? Like, I the 99.999% of the time, I'm using it for 4K HDR Blu-rays. So for me, it's just... That's my thing. That's my jam. If the PlayStation had done that with the PS4 Pro, I wouldn't even have the Xbox One S.
Well, I'm going to be honest with the way everything is set up right now. I've been doing all my movies on iTunes, so I have an Apple TV for that. And I'm about to get the 4K Apple TV.
I got it. I figured it out. Okay, so a trend that I wanted to talk about, it really popped in my mind, but I'm curious what you guys are thinking. Are the trends in gaming, I feel like, especially the last couple of years, of like, this is almost purely trend of like bandwagoning. And by bandwagoning, perfect example that I'm going to throw out there is Battle Royale games. Is when PUBG came out with it, so much money, and now it feels like every game has a Battle Royale mode. You look back, one of my favorite games ever, Overwatch. Overwatch got announced, it started talking about this hero shooter thing, and all of a sudden these other games like Battleborn, rest in peace, and other games like that kind of popped up, and they were kind of jumping, Paladins, jumping into this hero shooter genre, and it's, I can't think of instances like that in the past, but I feel like trends of that nature, they pop up, and it's
I can give you a perfect example of this. The Wii comes out, Sony announces PlayStation Move.
There you go.
And the Kinect.
And the Kinect came out.
Even
right,
to an extent, loot boxes. A company started doing loot boxes, and all of a sudden, all these games got to have loot boxes. You got to put something in there. They're making so much money. Like,
how do you make a lot of money though?
not getting too stuck in the loot boxes, but like trends like that, like bandwagoning. What do you guys think about that? I'll go first. I'll give you guys a chance to collect your thoughts. It makes me a little sad because I feel like that type of bandwagoning is showing a lot of those companies that we want money. They're businesses. Everybody wants money. Don't let Shuhei Yoshida or Phil Spencer or Reggie Fils-Aimé fool you. Like they're working to get content to you because they want your money in their pockets. Which is fine. They got to make a living too. But I think that I see a lot of that bandwagoning, it makes me sad that a lot of these games like The Idea Machine, when we were young, Killer's Reference, if you got that.
Why did you have to call it out?
When we were young and we had... It felt like all the new games we got were these new experiences and so different, and we got all this creative bubble was just around us so much. And I know that in 2018, games are more accessible, so yes, we got a lot more indie game devs and that market there. But as far as like just, there are some games that fall below the surface and some that rise to the top, and all these games that are rising to the top now we're getting into this like, I'm seeing Battle Royale modes everywhere, and I'm like, where's the creativity again? Where are these people taking a chance on new IP and new ideas and stuff? It's starting to feel a little too samey for me, and I think that's because so many people are jumping on these bandwagons to play it safe because they just want to make profit.
Yeah, but I mean, the problem is it worked. That's the problem. If it didn't work, people wouldn't be doing it. This really has been going on for a long time. Think of mobile games. One mobile game makes it big, and then when you go to search it on the App Store, there's like 8 million clones of the exact same game with a different title and a different theme, but it's the exact same wait 3 hours for something to happen or pay some money and make it happen faster. You know what I mean? Like, it just happens again and again and again and again, and that would not happen if it cost more money than it did make. But that's not usually the case. It usually does well enough that people continue to go ahead and jump on these trends.
And I guess I'm okay with that to a certain point, but I think it's just like the Battle Royale one is just like PUBG so popular, then Fortnite is popular, then Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is so popular now, and I'm sure it will be when it has the blackout mode on there. And then we're getting all these other games that are throwing in the Battle Royale mode. Can't wait for E3 when Ubisoft comes out with X game that has Battle Royale mode in it. Assassin's Creed Battle Royale. Let me go and get my bingo card. Yeah, get my freaking bingo card right now. And I think Brian67 in Twitch chat, there's a question that I think about when I think about this. Is like, what's the next, it doesn't even have to be the next revolution in gaming. Which is his comment, but like, what's the next evolution in gaming? Like, what's the next change? Or it doesn't have to be something that shapes everything, but something that I look at, I'm like, man, that's different. You know, Horizon Zero Dawn was something that was, it's open world and had similarities, but I haven't seen robot dinosaurs before. That was cool. I like doing that.
Hang on. We saw something similar. What was it?
Transformers?
No.
Transformers 4?
No.
Isn't that the one with the robot dinosaurs in it, though?
First off, if I was going to quote Transformers with the robots and whatnot, I'd go back to the cartoons.
Ooh.
Sorry. But, no.
Grimlock, no understand.
Oh, jeez. No, but in all seriousness, like, that kind of stuff. What was the Blood Dragon Far Cry? Weren't there...
Far Cry Blood Dragon.
Was that the name?
That was the name of the game.
Okay, whatever. You know what I mean, though. Like, weren't there, like, dinosaurs that, like, breathe laser beams or something?
There were absolutely dinosaurs that breathe laser beams. It was off of Far Cry 3's engine. And then they made Blood Dragon off of that. And you could buy it as a standalone title, but it was built on that engine.
You know what I need now? I need a Far Cry 5 Blood Dragon. That engine? No, but in all seriousness, like, it's one of those, like, yeah, robot dinosaurs, they're there. It's cool.
They're a thing.
Failing Faster made a good point, and I was thinking the exact same thing. Seems similar to the movie industry and Marvel and superhero movies. And it's more than just Marvel and superhero movies. It's absolutely the entire movie industry, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they are so scared to give a brand new IP because heaven knows if it's going to do any good. But they will give sequels all day long. They will be like Deadpool 68, you know what I mean? Like, absolutely.
69.
Please tell me the next Deadpool is Deadpool 69.
If they're going to do that, that's the number they're going to get to, 100%.
But that it kind of harkens back to the same thing. It's not even just the gaming landscape. It's any pop culture landscape. Like, it works because it keeps working. You know what I mean? Because people keep blowing money on it and people are making profits, they're going to continue to jump on bandwagons. It's just that's... You can even say, you know, back in the day, things were a lot different because it was a lot harder to bandwagon. You know what I mean? The amount of time it took to produce a quality product and the amount of staff that you needed and all the things that had to line up in order for you to jump on meant that it was a solid year or two before you would be able to get a working product out to match somebody else's product. Where now, it can be done like an afternoon. You know what I mean? Everybody's got such staff like on hand just waiting, chomping at the bit for, okay, we're making a battle royale game, everybody all hands on deck, we're doing it right now. And like, look at Fortnite. Fortnite wasn't even supposed to be a battle royale game. It was a completely different game that's been stuck in development hell for like 10 years. They announced it way back before even the next gen consoles had come out. And then it was like, we see what one person's
that's
doing,
almost,
we tack it on.
That is literally bandwagoning. Like,
now they have like two or three times the
game,
audience.
Our game released. It's doing okay. Oh, they're doing great. Let's make that mode.
And let's make it free.
You go on Twitch. Fortnite's up here and PUBG is down here. Like, after
it's,
that.
It's outstanding.
Like, when you're getting movie tie-in crossover deals with Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet. I mean, like, where do you go from here? Like, what do you do? Another example, I think, just like on that, getting off that bandwagoning and kind of be creative. We talked about it in Game of the Year last year, Will. Hellblade.
Yeah.
Like, just
amazing.
The way that developer, Ninja Theory, took the whole process. And I'm not saying I expect every game developer to do this, but the way they did all their dev diaries and they chronicled every little bit. They're still releasing like video content of Hellblade and what they did. There was a scene of like slight spoilers for the game, but you'd be fine. Go play the game. Serious. Go play it. There are scenes where like you hear these voices in your head and you're trying to like move through all these hands and whatnot. They would actually use their staff meetings while they're talking about stuff they're doing to record the audio for that. So we get everybody in the staff meeting and they're like, we're going to be in this office and we're going to do the recording for that audio. And it was not even that, but just like the idea, and that reached a new audience, very similar to the adaptive controller. That was for the very mental illness awareness type of game. But I would like to see more companies, especially some of these bigger companies. I understand that you're wanting to make money, but Activision Blizzard, come on, man. Do you really need more money?
Like, yes. Blizzard needs more money. Activision can die.
But, like, you, I think they, companies like that, I think they have enough money to at least take one chance, take a chance on a game or a new IP or something different.
Well, and so the funny thing is, like, Blizzard's chance was literally they took Overwatch from the ashes of Titan and made it a game. I mean, that was their, like, let's try this. Because Titan just straight up failed. Yes, I know you just read about our God Emperor Kojima.
I did.
Good job, Stig.
Oh, man. That's good. So,
Let's talk about Death Stranding, actually, for a second.
No, we're not going to talk about Death Stranding.
Because that looks like a whole new IP.
Well, I blended as they are.
The E3 predictions episode is next week. Calm down.
Yeah.
That's it for topic one. That was a big one. The second topic of the show is much fun. Much more fun. Such fun, much wow. Whatever. You know what I'm trying to say.
What about World of Warcraft?
But for, even wrapping up on that first topic, guys, what do you guys think of the new trends in gaming? What are some trends you guys like in gaming? What are some trends you think need to die? Let us know. Tweet us at RocketPunchGo.
Hashtag trends.
Hashtag trends. There you go. Let us know. Hit us up on Facebook. Any social media, you can find us on there. Let us know.
Preferably the Twitter.
Maybe we'll put a I put a question of the week on the website now, so maybe we make that a question of the week.
Mm.
That's a good one to talk about.
Hmm. All right.
Topic two. We're very smart people here. I don't know necessarily
if we're
I don't know necessarily if we're smart enough to solve this problem, but we're going to give it a shot. We're going to give our best guesses. This was a question of the week from last week when I started putting this on the website. So if you go to rockpunchgo.com, you can actually see a question of the week. And it actually has a very nice question, and you can put your votes here. We're curious what people pick. This is the question. So you are Phil Spencer, the executive president of gaming at Microsoft. You have added great services to the Xbox, like Game Pass and backwards compatibility, but you're still working on a plan for exclusive titles for the platform. What studios would you add to the company from the independent developer scene to bolster your first-party lineup? And I thought about this question because we, like I hinted at, we are getting close to E3. We're going to have our E3 predictions episode next week, so definitely stay tuned for that. But I know one of the big things with Microsoft and Xbox that a lot of people have been talking about lately is their first-party lineup or their lack of it. And I thought it'd be a nice little fun evergreen topic. Like, what I have a list here. You guys can definitely dive through them if you want, or if you have some off the top of your head. What are some developers you think would be great pickups for Microsoft to put in their first party lineup? If Phil comes out on stage in the next couple of weeks at E3 and's like, we have made a deal and we've purchased X company, so now this brand will now be Microsoft exclusive. You're not going to see it on Sony. You're not going to see it on Nintendo. You're not going to see it anywhere else.
Actually, pick up the publisher 2K and all of their subsidiaries.
2K?
Yeah. Think about it. You get all the 2K sports games, Xbox only, Xbox and PC only. You also end up with Borderlands and games like that.
But is that an indie developer?
No, I'm not saying indie developer. I'm saying, but if you just developers in general. You pick up that publisher and everything they got.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say, just piggybacking off of him, they could never pick an indie developer that would do enough to save that company right now.
2K could, though, because Borderlands. 2K
could, I agree. But
Borderlands is a big hit.
Something large.
Plus all of
indie 2K? Is not
yeah. In that Gearbox?
Yeah, but I said 2K and all their subsidiaries.
Oh,
I'm
okay,
saying,
yeah,
like, buy all of it.
Right.
Microsoft's got the coin. They could pull from some of their server infrastructure profits and to do that, and they're fine.
It.
But I'm not joking, because imagine if now all the 2K sports games are PC and Xbox only. All of them. NBA 2K is a massive franchise on its own. Then you have Borderlands.
The sports games, it would be hard to do, because if you do that and start putting it on a paywall, you do lose out on the money from PlayStation.
You do, but at the same time, Microsoft wouldn't be buying them for the money from PlayStation. They'd be buying it for platform security. That's how you justify it.
Sure, but again, when... Not playing fanboy here, but this is just facts. PlayStation 4 is the leading console seller right now, and that is going to take a chunk from sales.
Mm.
And yeah. they have to be prepared to recoup that or pay. Xbox, Microsoft has to be able to recoup that in some way.
Right. And this is a long ball decision. This is not something like that happens and it fixes it tomorrow. This is like for the Xbox 2 or whatever the hell they call it. Like, this is like long term, this fixes a problem of first party games.
Okay, we'll go with 2K. One that I think is a smart pickup. It's only one game, but it is a viable, very viable property, and I'm surprised they haven't done anything with it yet. IO Interactive and the Hitman franchise.
I think they would need to do more than that. I think if they were to pick up IO, they also got to pick up the people that make the Tomb Raider games.
That's Crystal Dynamics, and that's
which is under Square, Enix, right?
There's no way they're getting that.
I know Square would never sell it, but I'm saying, like,
yeah, there's no chance. Yeah.
Now, if money is no option, Square will be like, oh yes, yeah, we will take a check.
I pick IO because they are independent. They got released from Square Enix, funny enough. And Hitman is a strong property. Is it Grand Theft Auto? No. Is it any of these, you know, A-tier, AAA-tier properties? I wouldn't think so lately, but the latest Hitman game was a huge hit with the way they approached episodic content with what they were doing. And again, this isn't necessarily something we're not saying they make this one purchase and it pulls them out of their first party deluge that people have been saying about them. We're talking about just interesting indie developers and IPs that at the end of the day, we have this. We have Hitman. Sony doesn't. And I think Hitman had a lot of success. A lot of people are excited about the next season of Hitman. Mm. Not even a sequel. It's the next season. So I think that if Microsoft picks that up and says it's Microsoft, Xbox, and PC exclusive, I think that's a great boon for them. That would be a great boon for them.
If we're talking just indie, one franchise that I think is sorely underrepresented is one we were talking about earlier, Psyonix with
Rocket League. Ooh.
I feel like that one has much longer legs than are currently being utilized. I think you could monetize that better and make it more prominent in the gaming industry right now than what it is currently lying at. I think it's a lot of fun to watch. I think it's a lot of fun to play. I don't think it would ever be the size of something, say, Overwatch-y, you know what I mean? But I do believe that it could be a serious contender on esports the way they are. Mm. You know, it couldn't compete with Overwatch League, obviously, but compared to other esports, it could very well have a good following and stuff.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I think that would be a...
Complete sidebar, I'm going to let you finish. Quick correction in chat, the Tech Orc and Brian C., you're talking about the Shadow of Colossus devs. Originally, the game, yes, was made by SIE, Sony Interactive Entertainment. Mm-hmm. But if Brian67 in Twitch chat, if you're specifically talking about the remake, you are correct. That was Blue Point Studios.
It was.
They're the ones who did the remake for that. Go ahead.
I think that, you know, Rocket League has longer legs than what they're currently utilizing. I think they've done a pretty decent job, but I feel like they could promote it more. I feel like it could be more of a powerhouse. I feel like if they did a Rocket League 2, they could turn that into a very large business. I think it's a lot of fun to watch and play. I think that that's something that they could probably pick up for a sweet price.
That's true. That's right, Stig. Dropping that knowledge bombs. Yo, yo, what up? Everybody else is catching up on chat. Stigander in chat brings up a good point. They are dying pedagogy. Some good picks that him and the Tech Orc in Twitch chat are bringing up. Plectonics. I think they already have Rare. Microsoft, yeah,
they have.
They have Rare.
They've had Rare.
There's a funny video on Watch Mojo.
Underutilized though.
That like the WatchMojo.com on YouTube. They had a funny video of like things that have gone bad sales-wise, and one of them was like when Microsoft bought Rare. If you look at their games, all the games since they bought Rare have like basically been subpar to bad. Wonder why? That's not for me to judge. Double Fine Studios.
Yeah.
Good if Microsoft would pick them up.
Easy pick.
Like, they wouldn't. Tim Schafer wouldn't have to worry about, like, the funding with Psychonauts 2. He's basically got Phil Spencer signing the checks. Yeah. Like, here you go. Here's what you need.
They have some excellent titles.
Actually, you know what would be cool? Get anyone involved with Chucklefish under that umbrella.
Chucklefish would also be excellent. Yacht Club would also be excellent.
Yeah.
Ooh, Yacht Club would be good. I'm looking up Double Fine. Let's see.
What is
just
Yacht
Club
working on? They got to be working on something else besides just more and more.
Maybe we'll hear about
Night,
it
before, right?
But like Double Fine Productions, some of the properties: Broken Age, Brutal Legend. If you guys remember that game, that was pretty cool.
That was a interesting game. I didn't like the RTS parts, but that was way annoying. But the game itself was great, and the cameos with like Ozzy and stuff in there, like I loved it, man. But I'm a big metal guy.
A game you guys may not have heard of: Psychonauts. I don't know if you've heard about that. Costume Quest.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very popular. I've watched gameplay. It's pretty cool. I like.
Stacked.
But no, Double Fine is actually a really good pick. That's a solid. Like, if they're coming out with games of that quality, because a lot of those are really big hits and
big
cult classics. Microsoft pumping those out and has a Microsoft Studios logo on it. I'd be down with that.
Yeah.
What was the one? Here's the one everybody talks about. And I don't think this is a smart purchase, but this is just me. PUBG Corp. I think that is a stupid decision because if you love Battle Royale games, I'm sorry, but I feel like that's part of that bandwagon. Not bandwagoning, but that's like those flash in the pan things. I think that Battle Royale is going to calm down in a little couple of months or a year or two.
Yeah.
And people are going to be
on
the next
trend.
And
it's a one-trick pony. A one-trick pony. Now, one thing the tech work said, I don't know if it's an indie developer, but it's a great purchase, Platinum Games.
Ooh!
Platinum Games is a great freaking purchase, man. They've made some outstanding content. I still can't believe you canceled Scalebound. How dare you?
I don't think Microsoft should buy them just solely on that basis. Like, I wanted to play that game.
Yeah.
And you just go ahead. I saw some video for that, and I was just like, man, it was the top 10... broken E3 promises.
Oh, that's what
it was.
One of them. That was one of them.
Another one. This is an indie dev. This would be an interesting one. Telltale Games.
Yeah, their engine needs a lot of work, though, man.
If Microsoft were to purchase them, they would have unlimited funds to do that. Mm-hmm. We're talking about The Walking Dead, mm-hmm. Tales from the Borderlands, the Batman series. They just recently got licenses for like Marvel games. So we saw Guardians of the Galaxy was on there. They're bringing The Wolf Among Us back.
Right.
Game of Thrones, if you want to talk about that. But I think that would be a great... Those are great licensed properties, and there are a lot of fans that are liking that... what kind of games are those called? Adventure games.
Gotcha.
Those types of adventure games. So that could be a solid pickup for them as well.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, in the end, here's the thing for me. I hope they announce something. I hope they announce the purchase of something. Please hurry up and buy
something. It doesn't even have to be purchased.
You need it. You need it.
I need
to look at your portfolio. It's bad. Your portfolio is bad right now. It looks terrible compared to Nintendo and Sony.
I have some faith that they're working on new stuff. I know Phil's actually said in interviews, we're basically getting everything else prepped up and ready to go. Then you're gonna start seeing our first party lineup. But here's an interesting question. We can't answer today because we don't have time. I know there were a lot of rumors the last couple of weeks of like the PS5, and it's probably not gonna be announced
until
2021.
Still a few years out. Yeah.
But one of the things they talked about is like in their investor call, Sony did anyway, was getting kind of close to the end of their PS4 life cycle. Yeah. If that's the same for Microsoft, do you announce brand new stuff this close to the end of the life cycle, or do you pull a Nintendo Breath of the Wild-esque level thing where you save it for the next generation?
So you save it for the next generation, but you pull a Nintendo and you announce it for this generation and keep delaying it.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a feeling that Microsoft is going to approach the next generation very differently.
I think it's
going to be a very modular type of sphere where they won't have it be a game that can't be played on former hardware and stuff like that.
Oh, I fully expect Microsoft and by necessity Sony, when those next consoles come out, they are going to say, and the fact that they're both systems are x86 PC architectures, like, look, they natively, no emulation, they natively play your old PS4, Xbox One games.
Yeah, but it's less that. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't be surprised if there is a hangover period where games that play on the new hardware also play on the old hardware.
That's going to be... I think that's going to be a constant. I think that even until...
I think later it's going to be more like a PC moving forward.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Instead of buying a new PC or buying all the parts, I just keep modular upgrading my rig until I'm going to have to do my MOBO and my CPU, and then I'll do that in the RAM, but RAM prices stupid.
I think they're so high. Both sides make sense if you wait until the next generation. I don't see why they couldn't, because, the Xbox isn't doing PS4 numbers, but they're doing better than the 360, and the 360 is one of the greatest selling consoles of all time. So if you're looking at that metric, you're like, look, we're in the green. We're making profit. Continue what we're doing. Build your services. Keep up with Game Pass. Keep up with Backcompat. And that way, your services are already there. So when you come out of the door swinging with brand new first-party IPs for your next gen, people are going to be buying those systems up like hotcakes.
It's also going to be interesting with everything that's going to be happening. Because before the show, I had mentioned a new GPU-CPU hybrid coming out from Intel. And that very well may affect the next-gen consoles.
That's true.
Because they were talking about on the same die, they have like a quad i7 and an AMD graphics chip.
Mm.
And if they can pull that off, gaming's going to get interesting on consoles.
Pretty much.
Still x86.
Are there any other indie devs you guys can think of? I'm looking through some of the lists, see if there's any that jump out at me. Saber Interactive. Why did that name sound familiar?
So Chaz in chat was mentioning, get the guys that dude Baten Kaitos. Was that Chaz? I think it was Chaz.
What is that game?
Baten Kaitos is from Monolith Soft. So
okay, Monolith.
Yeah, they're very tight with Nintendo. They're the ones who've been doing all the I have this game on
Xenoblade.
Yeah, they've been doing all the Xenoblade stuff.
That's what they've been doing. Yeah, I knew I've heard that game somewhere before.
Yeah, and so I don't think they're going to step away from that agreement when just Nintendo in general. It's because it's a Japanese company with a Japanese company.
Yeah.
Japanese are very nationalist, which, it's your country. You do what you want.
But there's one thing that speaks across all borders, and that's that green, yo. It's a doll deals. You know what I'm saying? Make it rain. There you go. Well, guys, if that's everything else, and that is it for episode 101. Oh, Will, you had a grunt.
No, I'm just thinking, man, wouldn't it be great if we got the old LucasArts teams back together under the Xbox brand?
Got to talk to Disney about that.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about the people. I'm not talking about the studio.
Okay.
Calm down. We know the EA has that license for indefinite.
Until they make another Star Wars Battlefront 2, then Disney will take that up in a heartbeat. Guys, everyone, thank you so much for listening and watching us here. This has been episode 101 of the Rocket Punch Cast. Remember, if you're listening on audio services of your choice, make sure to rate and review us there. It helps our discoverability. If you are watching via Twitch, click that heart up at the top of your screen. Follow Rocket Punch Live. That way you'll know when we go live every Sunday, and also all the games and stuff we're playing throughout the week, so you don't miss a beat and can follow us playing all these goofy games and acting silly. Point to it again, Chris. Go to rocketpunchgo.com. That's the place you want to go to find all of our content, all of our podcasts, our videos, everything, our new YouTube plans we got going on with Chris here at the helm. It's going to be really exciting. And then also, if you want to help support the show, keep the mics on, patreon.com/rocketpunch. That's where you want to go to help keep that bowl, poat, whatever, rolling. I don't know. It's tired. It's
keep
hot.
Keep that bowl, poat, rolling.
It's hot. Don't at me. Don't at me.
Somebody hashtag that,
don't
please.
Hashtag bowl, poat.
Don't at me. I just can't. I'm done with you. I'm done with y'all. But not you guys, viewers.
No. You have only just begun.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in there and listening. We will see you next week.